Hey, everybody, welcome back to the guest segment of the Common Sense Show. We really appreciate you being with us. We have a tremendous guest for you. You say, oh, I know who he is. Of course you do. We've been friends for years. He's been on my show, gosh, dozens of times, and that's Dr. Ted Brower of Health Masters. And speaking of Health Masters, you know what's really cool about Health Masters, ladies and gentlemen? They kept me off the operating table when I was scheduled for knee surgery. My blood sugar is down in the medium average range. And at one time, it was not good. So I'm really, really pleased with the progress I get out of Health Masters. And you go to healthmasters.com for their products, and they have a wide variety of stuff. And people that can help you when you call them on the phone, you can go get the number off the website, healthmasters.com. And we have a coupon code for you here, FIVE, real simple. That's for the 5% off that you're going to get. So I always say that when I talk to Ted, because when a man keeps you out of surgery, you owe him a debt. But anyway, I want everyone to share in the good fortune that I had. Today, we're going to talk about a number of things with Ted. We're going to talk about that weight loss drug, speaking of diabetes, Ozempic. And we're going to look at more gender mutilation. And oh, by the way, Alice Cooper has taken abuse for saying, I don't think children should be doing this. If you're 18 and want to do it, that's up to you. And oh, people are canceling him left and right. The great Alice Cooper, who is a committed Christian. A lot of people don't know that, but he is. And then we're going to take a look at COVID's on the rise again, just in time for the election, social media, and a whole bunch of things, folks. It's never boring when we have Ted. Ted, welcome to the show. Glad you could join us.
Thanks so much, Dave. My pleasure being on with you guys. Yeah, but I saw an article in the Wall Street Journal just this morning, and it says to pay for weight loss drugs, some take second jobs, they re-up credit card debts, and some people are paying up more than $10,000 a year out of pocket for Ozempic in Mountain. And what this does, this drug does, all it does, it lowers insulin levels, in the body, and insulin is a storage hormone. And so what it does, it lets the body start losing weight. It's basically combating and fighting against Syndrome X. And what people don't realize is that when you get older, your metabolism starts to slow down and you can't eat as much food as you did when you were younger. And you have to start changing the type of food that you eat. Now you can still eat pretty good calorie counts, but you can't just be eating a bunch of sugar and carbohydrates. Because when you ingest a lot of sugar and carbohydrates, the body elevates the blood sugar very, very quickly. If you take a tablespoon of white potatoes and you put it in your mouth and you dissolve it and let it and chew it and swallow it and you check your blood glucose levels, in an hour, it'll raise your blood glucose levels more than table sugar will. That's high glycemic carbohydrates. And so you gotta be real careful with stuff like that. And so if they take these drugs to lower the insulin levels, which causes liver and pancreatic damage, it's ridiculous what they do to themselves, when all they've gotta do is change their diet. They've gotta come in and get rid of the high glycemic carbohydrates, the pasta, the bread, the rice, the potatoes. You stay with like mixed vegetables, lean chicken, rotisserie chicken, and eggs. You know, every morning I get up and I have 4 eggs for breakfast. Every morning. I throw them in a skillet, put butter in there, or either butter or olive oil. I cook them real slow so I don't burn them, so they don't get all crusty on me, because that's not healthy either. And then I basically eat my 4 eggs and it stabilizes my blood sugar pretty much, you know, for the first 4 or 5 hours of the day. And that allows me at that point to keep my insulin levels low, which brings the second hormone into play, and that's called glucagon. Glucagon helps to burn body fat and stored fat, but it will not be released by the body, by the pancreas, unless the insulin levels are down. Because there's no reason to try to release more, you know, sugar, more fat into the blood to burn for fuel if you're loaded up with carbohydrates. The problem is when you take insulin and you take it and you're forcing it up all the time because you're eating so many processed carbohydrates, what ends up happening is your elevated insulin stays up all of the time. That's what they're doing with Ozempic. They're bringing that insulin back down again, but it's causing all kinds of other side effects in the body with the pancreas and the liver. So it's not necessary, guys, to take these drugs. What you do is this. If you want to weigh 180 pounds, you take 180 and times it by 10. That's 1,800 calories a day. Don't go under that. Divide it by 6. It says 6 is basically 300 calories per meal. Eat 6 300-calorie meals per day. Spread them out 2 or 3 hours apart. You don't have to get hungry. And keep it low glycemic. Stay with rotisserie chicken. Stay with baked chicken. Stay with fish that's not fried. Can't be fried. You know, it can be baked or it can be pan seared. That's all right. If you use like olive oil, but don't use canola oil. It's a bad product. You know, don't use corn oil. Don't use safflower oil. Don't use, you know, soy oil. Don't use any of that stuff. But what I do is I go, because, you know, I'm single now and, you know, I'm a widower. My wife passed away a little over a year ago now. And what I do is I go to the local health food store. They have rotisserie chickens there, big ones, and they're like $10, $11 a piece, which is really inexpensive considering the fact that they've cooked them. I have them cook them a little bit more well done for me, so they come off the bone more easily. I get five at a time because it's about a 20-minute drive over there. And what I do is I bring them home, and I strip them, take the skin off of it, and I put them in Tupperware or any kind of plastic container at work that's BPA-free. And then what I do is I put them in the freezer. And I've got five chickens that are all cooked perfectly, and I mix vegetables with those, and I eat them every single day. Now, what I do with the vegetables, I get mixed organic vegetables, and I cut them open, and I basically, you know, dump them in the pan with the chicken while I'm reheating it again, and I don't overcook the vegetables. I put some olive oil in there, I put some mustard in there, a little bit of salt, a little chipotle seasoning. It tastes absolutely great. They think, well, that's boring. I don't want to do that every day. All right, then don't do it every day. You can use chicken. You can use fish the same way. You could use beef if you wanted to, but you got to watch your calorie content. Don't use pork. Don't use shellfish. But you can make it any way you want to make it. Use whatever meat you want to use as far as meat other than pork and shellfish, and just enjoy it. You know, grouper, red snapper, orange, ruffy, sea bass, any of that stuff. The reason I use the chicken is it's so inexpensive and it's still organic. And those other fish, they can be $15, $20, $30 a pound now. It's ridiculous how expensive food has gotten. So I eat that way. It's simple. The cleanup is very easy. I use a skillet. I heat it up. I'll have it ready to go in 4 or 5 minutes. People always say, wow, this tastes really good. We're going to have a company come over. And I'm just eating like that. You say, well, that's all you eat? Well, no, I go out sometimes. You know, I'll have a date and I'll go out and, you know, eat some beef or something else. But I always try to eat the same types of food. And I try to stay away from high glycemic carbohydrates that turn to sugar quickly, like pasta, rice, potatoes, bread, that kind of stuff. Now, if my weight's doing real well, I may have a piece of bread, but I try not to eat it in a restaurant very often because I know it's going to have glyphosate or Roundup in it. But I may have it at the house. Every day before I work out, every morning when I get up, I go to the bathroom and I get on the scales. And every single day I write my weight down in the gym when I get to the gym to work out. I've got a journal there. I write down what I weigh. I keep my weight under 190. I always try to stay between 187 and 189. And what I do is if I'm above that, if I get to 190 or above, I write a big N-O with an exclamation point right in my journal. No, I'm not going to do that. And then I intentionally cut back on my food intake that day. And next morning, I'm back under 190 again. You think, well, that's ridiculous, Ted. You're obsessive with this. Hey, it works for me. That's all I can say. Huh. I stay in really
that's
good
all
shape all of the time. Yeah, that's all that matters. And I don't want to do all that. Well, then don't. You spend your $1,000 on Ozempic every month and blow out your liver and pancreas. I mean, do what you want to do. But the reality is my blood sugars.
Ted, is it bad for your liver and pancreas?
Oh yeah, you can do the research on it. Just put toxic side effects of this and put it on your computer, it'll all pop up. But you know, but the problem with all of this stuff is that people want the easy way out. They just want to take the shot. They don't want to do what they need to do as far as being more disciplined. Now, one more thing too, I got to add this to you. It's alcohol. You know, it's just a real problem with alcohol because alcohol stops the production. It's just an ounce of alcohol a day will stop the production of an enzyme called lipase, which burns body fat. And so then what happens is you don't have that lipase in your being released. You start storing body fat. So if you drink a beer or a glass of wine just once a day, one beer a day, one glass of wine a day, you're going to decrease your ability to basically burn body fat to 35%, and you're going to start gaining weight. I see this now. Gosh, don't let me I don't want to get people mad at me. So I try my best just to get along with everybody that I possibly can, but I just got to tell you guys the truth. I'm in this dating world now, which is something I don't want to be in. I'd rather have my wife back, but she's in heaven with Jesus right now, so I can't help all that. But it's so funny. They'll send you a picture of themselves, and you go on a date, and you get what's called catfished. They don't look like their pictures. They've gained 20, 30, 40, 50. I had one of them gain about 80 pounds, and you get there, and you're like, what the heck? And invariably, when you start talking to them, if you stay on the date at all, if you're not all mad because they, you know, weigh 80 pounds more than their pictures did, they're drinking wine and they're hammering wine. And you try to tell them, you drink wine, it's the quickest way to gain weight. And so many women have bought into that lie. And alcohol is much harder on women than it is on men. And so they start drinking wine every day with their friends. They'll have a glass of wine or two glasses of wine or three glasses or four glasses of wine every single night. And they start blowing out the ability to burn body fat, and they start gaining weight very, very, very slowly. And then pretty soon they don't even realize they're up 20 or 30 pounds, and they don't look like their pictures anymore. Or they do realize they don't look like their pictures, but they don't know what to do about it. And so this is a problem, you know, while you date online. So what I've done is a little dating tip for everybody who's single. I always make sure I video chat with everybody now. before I go on a date and have to drive somewhere to meet somebody to make sure they look like their photographs. And that's a problem that people are having all over the country right now because of the dietary changes that people have made because of that French paradox, which was a total lie, by the way. They say the French people have a lower incidence of heart disease because they drink red wine. No, the French people have a lower incidence of heart disease because they eat really high-quality food. They don't use omega-6 fats very rarely. They cook in real butter, real olive oil, and they don't eat a bunch of junk all the time. Okay. Plus, a lot of the French people, I hate to say this, smoke all the time, which decreases their appetite. And so the French people have all these other factors that decrease their risks of heart disease, but the course of smoking increases the risk of heart disease. But the diet is one of those factors. They're saying is alcohol. It's not the alcohol. You know, it's not red wine. You could get remdesivir, not remdesivir. Gosh, that's that drug, resveratrol. Remdesivir is a drug that kills people with COVID. You get resveratrol, you know, in capsule form, which is the same thing that supposedly prevents the risks of heart disease when you drink red wine without, you know, forcing your body to not store fat anymore. So be very, very careful. Plus, we have products like HGH Stimulate at the office, which helps increase human growth hormone and helps to burn body fat like crazy. That, by the way, works very, very, very well. And then, of course, you need to drink half your body weight in fluid ounces, you know, per day. In other words, if you weigh 200 pounds, drink 100 ounces of water a day. If you weigh 100 pounds, drink 50 ounces of water a day. Make sure it's distilled. Make sure it does not have fluorine and chlorine in it because that affects the thyroid gland because fluorine and chlorine are both halogens and so is iodine. And so the body thinks when it gets fluorine and chlorine, which are toxins in its bloodstream, that it's iodine. It absorbs it into the thyroid gland, which decreases the amount of hormones the thyroid produces to help maintain weight also. So you're putting yourself in a short circuit mode if you're drinking fluorine and chlorine in your water supply, and you're poisoning yourself, and you're dropping your IQ scores all at the same time. That's why Harvard warned pregnant women when they have children, if they're going to bottle feed them, not to put them on fluoride water for their formulas. It's so important. So the other day I was at the pharmacy, and I was asking this pharmacist a question about something to gargle with. And she's telling me all this stuff and just giving me stupid advice, to be honest with you. And finally she brings up fluoride. Well, you know, it's like fluoride. Your body needs fluoride. I looked at her, I said, your body needs hydrofluorosilicic acid. Well, it's fluoride. I said, you mean hydrofluorosilicic acid, a byproduct of fertilizer production, which is unbelievably poisonous. It's used as rat poison. Yes, your body needs fluoride. I said, no, it doesn't. I said, no, it doesn't need that at all. Well, children need to have fluoride. I said, no, they don't. Look at the Harvard study. Now, I'm embarrassing her, didn't mean to, but in front of all of her staff, because apparently nobody's ever argued with this woman. And I wasn't really arguing, I was having a discussion with her. And she didn't realize that I was a biochemist trained at, you know, Florida State University. Didn't realize any of that stuff. But I finally told her. And I said, I completely disagree with you on that. I said, why does toothpaste say, if swallowed, contact the poison control center immediately, if it's so healthy for you when it contains fluoride? And she goes, well, I didn't know it said that. I said, look at your tube of toothpaste. And I said, it's got fluoride in it. It's going to tell you it's got poison in it. And I said, so why in the world do we want to put that kind of stuff in our body in any concentrations whatsoever? We know it's used as rat poison. So all of these little things are little tidbits we try to teach people in the Ted Nossen Brower Show, Dave, when we do that every single day along with all the world news and health stuff. But that Ozempic and all those other types of compounds like that that are being used for weight loss, just eat low glycemic meals. And now a lot of people, and I hate to say this, because I'm not this way, all right? So it's easy for me to say something about this. A lot of people are foodies. You know, they like the presentation. They like the way the food looks, like the way the food tastes, and they've got to be entertained by their food. They have to be entertained by their beverages. And the problem with all of that stuff is that you can do that if you'd like. No big deal, okay? But realize that why do you have to do that? Food is there to sustain your life, not to entertain you. And so I'm real funny about that. People eat out all the time. I had a friend of mine, his name was Mike, and he had his wife. And years ago, we used to go out to dinner with him, like 25 years ago. And every meal 25 years ago was $150 to $200 with them. They told me they were spending $4,000 to $5,000 a month eating out. Every month. Every month. And yeah, that's why I said, that's a true story.
Buy
and,
a Lamborghini, and, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's right. And finally, I told him, you know, so they'd go out, their bill would be $250. Sharon and I'd go out, we'd be out with them. I learned very quickly we weren't splitting the check. We're getting our own independent check. So my art check would be like $60, and it'd be a nice restaurant, but we would split the meal because neither one of us wanted all those calories. We'd still have the ambiance. We would tip the server as if we had had two meals. We always did that because it's important. You say, well, I can't afford to tip. If you can't afford to tip the server properly, you don't need to eat out.
That's right.
I'm just going to say that right now. It's not fair. This is their livelihood. This is what they do for a living. And if you can't treat them right and give them a minimum of 20%, if you can't do that, stay at home. Let somebody else have that table for the night. And if you're not going to tip them right, don't sit there all night and take one of their tables. Just, I thought I'd mention that because I used to wait on tables when I was in college and high school. And I tell you, it's frustrating. And so all of the people out there now that are servers are going, yes, he's right, he's right, he's right. And I'm going to say one more thing since I'm meddling right now. If you think, should I give them $5 or $10 for this meal? If you ever think that, I don't care what the meal costs, let's assume it's a $10 meal, okay? And they've given you exceptional service. And you think, should I give them $5 or $10? They gave me the world's greatest service. Always go with a higher amount. Give them the $10. Well, you mean you want me to tip 100%? Yeah, if you feel like you need to. Because if you don't, what's going to happen? You're going to get in the car, and you're going to go, I can't believe I didn't give them that extra $5. I can't believe I just did that. I can't believe that I got cheap inside that restaurant. They gave me the world's best service, and invariably it's going to bug you all night for $5, or you're going to turn around and go give them the $5 and walk back into the restaurant again, make a scene. Just give them the $10. If you always learn to be the $10 person. Should I give them $5? Should I give them $10? Give them the $10. If you can't afford to give them the $10, stay at home and eat. Get some chicken and vegetables. It's cheap. You can get a rotisserie chicken and get four meals out of it for $10. That's $2.50 a meal. And the vegetables are $1 or $2 a meal, the organic ones. And you can basically eat for a couple bucks at home, $3, $4. You can do it that way. So that's a lot simpler to eat that way at home if you want to do that and not eat out. Now, it goes back to one other thing, too. If you're having budget issues, okay, and you're still wanting to eat out and be entertained by your beverages and by your food, why don't you think through that? Like Dave said, go buy yourself a Lamborghini if you want to pay $5,000 a month for something. But at least you'll have something that'll maintain some value because the food is simple to use at home. The other day, I was talking to this lady, and she was basically going out for her third time for the day to eat, and she was complaining that she didn't have the money to basically pay for her meal. But she was standing in line. And I said to her, I said, why don't you just go home and eat? And she said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, you know, it's not a new concept. People do eat at home. I said, it's okay to eat at home. And she was like offended. She, well, every once in a while I eat at home. I'm like, why don't you just eat at home all the time? Maybe you won't be broke all the time. And see, and that's the biggest problem that people have. They make decisions that are going to affect them in a long-term way, like getting their credit cards run up, eating out all the time. I mean, this one lady filed bankruptcy 3 times, and every time it was all over credit cards, every single time. It's amazing the credit card manufacturers would continue to bring her credit back. You know, she'd have 7 years of being there and another 7 years of trying to rebuild her credit, and then she'd file bankruptcy again. And invariably, it was because she was constantly eating out. And then she'd get online, and she'd just buy stuff she didn't need with money she didn't have that she was borrowing until the credit cards were maxed out. She couldn't pay her payments anymore. Bankruptcy again. Bankruptcy again. Bankruptcy again. I watched her do it 3 times over a period of about 30 years. And I thought to myself, wow. Why do you live like that? Why, you don't need to have 25 sets of matching towels in your house. You're living by yourself. You can have one towel if you need to, and you can wash it, or you let it hang up and let it dry. And I told her that repeatedly, but she simply didn't listen. She didn't get it. The same thing is true with food. You don't need to go out and spend on food all the time. It's not necessary. You'd be better off to stock up on Health Master supplements in case we have another pandemic, which they're probably going to release another bioweapon here pretty quick. And you know, and of course, they've already got 3 more vaccines in the pipeline ready to go. You know, Donald Trump's now saying don't allow yourself to be locked down again. Don't allow yourself to be vaccinated again. You know, don't be forced to do all of this stuff, even though he was the one who pushed Operation Warp Speed to start with. And, you know, he's the one who got the bioweapon.
I don't see that as a discrepancy. I see it as growth. He was duped.
Well, then, Dave, he needs to say that. He needs to say, I was duped.
Okay, but in effect, and I'm not here to apologize for him, but in effect, isn't he saying that when he's telling you don't go along with what they're telling you?
Well, he is. Yes, and that was, in fact, there was an article on it today in the news, and I was, we can cover it if you'd like. But the reality is that he could say, when he says that, look, when I was president, I got bad information from Fauci and the rest of these guys, and I really believe what they were telling us was true. Don't allow yourself to be sucked into that again. And I will never allow myself, if I become president, to tell you guys to lock down the country again and basically allow you to be forced to take vaccines that have not been clinically tested. So I did that, but I've had growth now, and I'm past it. And see, I know Roger Stone. I don't really care for Roger Stone, but he's an interesting character nonetheless. I've had dinner with him several times down in Miami because I have a friend of mine named Mancow Mueller. He's basically a top talk show host who's friends with Roger. And I don't dislike Roger. I just don't care for him. His personality is a little bit different for me. But the reality is, you know, I was talking to Roger and I said, why is Trump doing this? And he goes, well, he's destroying his base. He's got to start stop talking about Operation Warp Speed. Now he saved millions of lives because everybody knows better now. You know, nobody wants to get locked down again. And, you know, and so it was interesting if Trump's actually going to make this change now and start talking about why you shouldn't take the vaccine. But I can say one thing about Trump. I don't think he ever would have done like Biden did. Remember when Biden first came into office, he was talking about going door to door with the National Guard. Remember that?
Yeah.
And vaccinating people. And I remember it's interesting. I mean, you know, at some point you got to draw your line in the sand. And I remember Sharon was still alive then. And I remember I brought her in the living room and I said, what do you want to do with this? And she goes, they're not injecting that stuff in me, Ted. And I looked at her and I said, they're not injecting that in me either. I said, I ain't going to some stinking FEMA camp either for re-education. I said, I'm drawing my line in the sand right here, right now. And she goes, I am too. I said, all right. And see, that's what we have to have. We have to have that type of resolve that we're not going to go there. You know, I'm not going to allow them to do that to me. I'm not going to allow them to do that to me again. No, I'm not going to be part of this. I have a friend of mine who's a anesthesiologist, nurse anesthetist, and she told them, they said that you have to have the COVID shot or you can't work here anymore. And she goes, well, I'm an independent contractor. I'm not an employee. And she goes, you can't force me as an independent contractor to have the COVID shot. She says, yes, we can. We won't let you back into the premises. She goes, okay, here's the name of my attorney. He already has the paperwork ready to go for the lawsuit against this company. And they backed off. And she did not get vaccinated. Her name's Judy, by the way. If you want a name associated with that. But the point is this. If we don't stand our ground, if we don't say, no, we're not going to do this, look at the turbo cancers everywhere, Dave. I have a friend of mine who basically runs a car dealership over in Tampa. And I talked to him the other day. He has five of his friends right now that were all super healthy. They all took the vaccine, and they all have super aggressive malignant cancers, and they're all dying, all of them. And then I've got another friend of mine. He's at another car dealership, and he has some of his friends that are all dying from turbo cancers. It's happening. Look at all the young people that are dropping dead on athletic fields all over the world, over 1,000, close to 1,500 now, top athletes have either had heart attacks, myocarditis, pericarditis, or they've dropped dead on fields. Top athletes. And the crazy part about this is it's become so commonplace now, people just don't pay any attention to it anymore. And they would say, and people are still, I was doing a show the other night, and the host told me, he went to his local pharmacy that day. He lives up in Oregon. And he said that he asked the pharmacist how many people are coming in every day to get COVID shots, the new variant shots. He goes, about 40 a day come in every day, just in this pharmacy alone. That's one pharmacy. There's dozens of pharmacies in this area. That means there's thousands of people probably every day that are coming in right now in those areas all over the country. You think, well, why would they do that? Because they keep ABC turned on or CNN turned on or whatever, Fox News turned on. And they believe the mainstream rhetoric and the mainstream lies about what's going on. Yeah. We have no integrity left whatsoever in media, none.
Yeah,
we have no integrity left in law profession. We have no integrity left in the medical profession, none.
It's not just the media. It's Biden has allocated $1.4 billion for various things. One of them are COVID safety protocol officers. And what that means, it's a two-part deal here, Ted. Number one, the enforcement for mandatory vaccinations and lockdowns are going to come from the federal level. There'll be no state discretion. And that's because Biden illegally entered into a treaty without the approval of two-thirds of the Senate with the World Health Organization. And if he declares an emergency, they come in and set the protocols. Biden provides the enforcement. It's coming. They're already spending money for it.
Yeah, here's the problem they're going to run into.
Yeah, careful now. You don't want the FBI to kick your door down.
They're going to have a lot of show on. I'm going to say it this way. There are a lot of sheriffs in Florida. They ain't going to go along with that. To use an ain't vernacular. They're not going to put up with that. They're not going to allow other people from other countries to come into their shits. And people don't realize the sheriff in the county answers only to the governor of the state, period. That's it. He's the supreme law enforcement. If he wants the National Guard not to come in, they don't come in. He just tells them no.
Did you know that Hawaii does not have a sheriff? They have sheriffs, but they just do gatekeeping stuff. They have no law enforcement capability at all. It's a big factor in what's happened to Lahaina, losing their property rights. There's no sheriff to defend them.
Well, yeah, I remember years ago, I had a problem with the Lakeland Police Department. They actually, It was over a seatbelt check, and I was wearing a seatbelt, but I'm not going to go into detail with it, but it turns a big mess. And so finally, I'm talking to the police commissioner, who's been fired since, by the way, fired right after this incident. And I'm sure I had something to do with it. And I remember she was, I told her, you know, because I had contacted our sheriff in our town, and because I'm a friend of his, and he basically told me what to do as far as to get this crazy stuff taken care of. And I wrote this letter, lady, a letter, this police commissioner, and she called me up. And I said, well, the sheriff said that this is this, this. She goes, well, I don't answer to the sheriff. My response to her was very succinct. I said, why don't you go arrest him? And she goes, what do you mean? I said, why don't you go arrest him? She says, well, I said, no, I said, I'll answer the question for you because you don't have the authority to arrest him. But you know what he could do? He could walk into your office right now and arrest you. And she goes, well, I don't know about that. I said, I know about that. He's a supreme law enforcement commander, you know, here in this, in Polk County. I said, he can do whatever he wants to do other than with it. The only person to override him is the state, you know, the governor. And that's what I love about Governor DeSantis. He's had these state attorneys in multiple places now, including that Sheriff Israel down there, you know, in Parkland. Mm-hmm. First thing he did when he came into office, he boom fired Sheriff Israel for basically just absolutely being an idiot with that Parkland shooting. And then he got rid of another attorney over there in Orlando because they weren't prosecuting the crimes like they were supposed to. It was this really super liberal black woman, and she's all mad on the media. Blah 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 blah. He can't do this. Well, guess what? He just did it. You know. And if you don't do your job, you know, as a prosecutor, the governor has the right to come in and terminate you. And then you can, of course, I'm sure you could file a lawsuit or because she's another elected official. But the reality is this, you know, you've got to do your job when you're an elected official. You've got to do what's right. See, and that's the problem that we have in all of this is that we have to have the ability to do what's right and we have to have our law enforcement people do it. So if FEMA shows up or if the UN shows up with their little blue hats, or if anybody shows up at the borders of any county in Florida that the sheriff is a patriot, there's a high probability they're going to be turned away and said, you're not coming in here, regardless of what the federal law says. Because, you know, the federal government, because of Lincoln, because of that wretched President Abraham Lincoln, and if I was president of the United States and I had the ability to do it, I'd tear down the Lincoln War Memorial. Because of that president taking away states' rights, because that war was fought over states' rights. Slavery was a minor issue. It was an issue, but it wasn't the major issue. It was states' rights about the southern states being forced with tariffs to pay the infrastructure repair and maintenance in the northern states because Lincoln was a communist. He was really good friends with Karl Marx, and they used to share letters with each other all the time. Just thought I'd mention that. Plus, Lincoln's wife was a Satanist and used to have seances in the White House. Just to mention that, too. Just so you guys can look that one up, too. And so the crazy part about all of this stuff is when you stop and you look at it, you see what they're doing and how they're acting, you begin to realize very, very quickly that these people have lost the ability to differentiate between the federal government and the state constitutions. When we had the Civil War, the states were like loosely held group of states here in the United States that had their own individual constitutions and rights that would come together for basically a conflict, like with Europe or with some other nation was attacking them, England, for instance. So the reality is that after Lincoln did what he did and changed everything, he basically gave the federal government incredible power and rights, which it was never given from the original Constitution of the United States. And the sad part about this is that people don't understand the states still have rights that trump the international rights, except for the southern states, by the way, that signed on to different things after Reconstruction to come back into the Union, and they had to say they would never rebel against the federal government again. They had to sign off their rights to do all that. But the reality is this. The states and the counties and the cities are all separate jurisdictions, and we have to be careful when we have this kind of stuff going on. We have to be careful when we have this kind of stuff going on because if we have people going in and doing stuff that is against the state constitutions, what's going to happen is we're going to have complete and total tyranny and a lack of rule of law. And that happens to people all of the time in these different countries where the federal government will come in and just centralize all the power. Germany did it in Berlin. All of the jurisdictions and all the states and all the counties, all the power got centralized in Germany to the Third Reich. And then Hitler could just mandate stuff and it'd be automatically an edict that would go through the entire part of Germany. Now,
well, it makes hold on. Biden's doing that right now. He's finding another way to legitimize the forgiveness of college loans. He's trying to make vaccines mandatory again. He's doing the same damn thing.
No, that's what thank you, Dave, because that's the segue I was going to go into. Biden's doing the exact same thing. He's turning us into the Third Reich. And by 2030, we're going to be the most tyrannical country in the history of the world because we're going into a situation in which we won't have any rights left because they've taken them all from us. They've usurped them from us. And we're basically now just automatons. Remember what Klaus Schwab said? World Economic Forum. Yeah, by 2030, you'll own nothing. You'll own nothing and you'll be happy because we're going to change your DNA. He wasn't joking. If you listen careful to what people say, they'll tell you what their intent is. I've got a subdivision across from us now with like 500 homes in it. And every single house and every single lot was bought up by BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard before the subdivision even broke ground. And they're bringing in all of these immigration people, all these people from Central and South America who don't even speak English, who never even go to work. They're always at the house. They don't have any people going in and out of the subdivision. Nobody leaves except to go buy groceries. And how are they paying for these $400,000 or $500,000 homes? And they all got these old beater cars they're running around in. That means they couldn't even afford to make that house payment. And I remember I had a black guy over there one day and he was really nice. He was working in maintenance over there. And I talked to him. I said, this is crazy. I said, can you tell me why this whole subdivision is Hispanic? He goes, dude, he goes, I asked myself the same question. He goes, I have a full-time job. I work. I cannot afford to buy a house in here. He says, these people come in from other countries. They are given these houses. We have no idea how that happens, and they're given subsidies for these houses, and we can't even buy a house in here because they've already been pre-sold.
Yeah.
And he goes, it's ridiculous. And see, this is what we've run into now. We've allowed our country to be completely usurped by the international banking cartels, who also, by the way, own BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard. And this is a manifestation of the primordial serpent from Adam and Eve. That's what this is. This is pure Satanism. And Lucifer, of course, they call him Einstein now. He's part of that Kabbalah's tree of life thing. This is who runs the planet. This is the group that does that. And when we understand who they are, that we're being controlled by ancient Canaanite religions, of the worshiping of Baal and Moloch and Asherah, and through human sacrifice, through abortion, and through bloodletting rituals and adrenochrome, and all the rest of the stuff that we're involved in, we begin to realize very, very quickly that this world that we live in is being controlled by off-world entities. You'd call them fallen angels, at least that's what I call them, who are also imprisoned down here on planet Earth with us after they were judged by God for doing what they did, causing a rebellion. We got stuck down here with them, and now we're dealing with these things, with these other entities. That's why the Bible says our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against these other entities.
Yeah.
And then, of course, these are the other entities from the pre-Adamic race that are still running around with their spaceships and all the stuff that we see, these interdimensional spaceships that come and go that we see, that we're having this massive disclosure now. You know, Daily Mail is always putting out articles on more UFO sightings, more UFO sightings, and more people beginning to realize that we're not alone in the universe, which, duh, the Bible told us that thousands of years ago. But the reality is if we allow ourselves to get sucked into this, one world government, this one world religion under Lucifer, which is their goal, by the way, the rebuilding of the third temple so they can bring their Satan God, their Antichrist, out on the temple steps. In the book of Thessalonians, it talks about this, and declare himself God. If we allow all of this to happen on our watch, we're going to have the seals of the book of Revelation break open and start breaking open. And they may be breaking open right now, to be honest with you, as bad as it's getting. And so we're going to have all of this stuff happen to us while the Christians sit around and go, kumyaya, kumyaya,
yeah.
We're going to be basically going to heaven and getting raptured. And the problem with that is they don't want to believe that any of this stuff's going on because they're in their name it, claim it, blab it, grab it churches, and they want to believe that everything's happy, happy, happy all the time, and they won't pay any attention to alt media or alt news because their pastors aren't telling them to look at what's really going on. That's the problem that we have here.
Well,
the pastors with the pulpit have lost the ability to lead their flocks.
They have. Let's back up for a second, though. A couple of things you said. You brought up BlackRock, you know, behind the development across from your house. BlackRock is the major player in what's happening in Lahaina and Maui right now, and I've exposed
that. That's right.
That's number one. And Vanguard and State Street are in support mechanisms. In fact, BlackRock is actually playing both ends against the middle. They're the major investor for the biggest development company that's going to benefit the windfall from taking over Lahaina, stealing the land from the people. And they're also the major investor of Hawaiian Electric. They'll direct the lawsuits. They'll settle the lawsuit in such a way that they can continue with what they're doing. There's going to probably be 1,000 lawsuits. They'll get conjoined in the one lawsuit that Maui County has already launched against Hawaii Electric. And by the way, Hawaii Electric turned off the power 6 hours before the fire. That's something I'm reporting on today. So the bottom line is, with all this, BlackRock is a major player. And you said something, too, about the maintenance guy you were talking to. He says, I couldn't afford to buy a house there. Well, we're paying for that house for these people. And you know why, Ted? They're the replacements. We're going to be the forgotten entities.
Well, and plus we're the ones getting vaccinated. They're coming across the border and they're not being vaccinated.
Well, that's another thing, Ted. You got the life insurance rates. My insurance rates doubled without a claim. And we asked them, why? Why? Well, because we're losing money in other areas. Well, I can tell you what the areas are because I've talked to some of the actuaries. The other areas are we have dropped our lifespan 3 years in the last four since the lockdown, and it's because of vaccines. They're paying for vaccine deaths at early ages, and it's bankrupting the insurance companies.
Well, that's true. The insurance companies, like right now, they raised my deductible to some like $9,000 on my house. You know, so if I have an air conditioner to get hit by lightning, it doesn't cost me $6,000 to get it fixed. I have to pay it all out of pocket.
Yeah, exactly.
And then when we have the storm, it's like, you know, $50,000-$60,000 in deductible. If we have a hurricane named storm now, they don't have to pay anything. And so as far as claims going to my insurance company from homeowners insurance, it's gone to basically zero. Zero. But the problem is my homeowners insurance is locked together with my doggone, you know, automobile insurance, and they won't do all of this stuff and basically insure it all from a liability standpoint if you don't have it all tied together and have all the different insurance policies.
Well, you're,
it's a way, it's a racket.
You're one of the lucky ones, Ted. You're one of the lucky ones. Right? I've seen news accounts. I played this on my YouTube channel. The life insurance companies, I'm talking Farmer, State Farm, the rest of the majors, they're flying drones over people's homes. And if they find something in the backyard, they don't exactly, like you might have a stack of timber. Okay. Maybe you're building something. If you have a car that you're working on, maybe you drag race cars, whatever it would be. If they see something in that drone, you may have never made a claim and you could have had a policy with them for 20 years. They're canceling people for what they perceive to be the slightest of risks.
Well, I believe you. I mean, because I remember years ago I had a motorhome that I had a chipped windshield in, and they were going to cancel my policy because of the chipped windshield. I mean, like on all my vehicles for this one thing. And I call up my agent. I said, what the heck? And they had to go advocate for me and say, hey, this isn't okay. They won't do it. And then I had an AC system that went out. It was expensive. It was above the $9,000 deductible. And so they sent out their own claims representative who came out with his own repair guy who came out and examined the AC system and said it failed because of age, not because of the lightning strike, which was a total lie. And they refused at that point to do it and told me that I would have to mitigate it and take it to court with them. And well, I can't, that's not going to help because it's only a couple thousand dollars more than the claim was as far as the deductible. So it would cost me more than that in insurance. Yeah, I'm not in insurance, but in legal fees. And so, it's just a racket, and this State Farm's gotten unbelievably bad about this. They used to be one of the best homeowner insurance companies in America, and they're not anymore because what happened after – I forgot which hurricane it was. I think it was Andrew. Years ago, they set up a separate division in Florida for State Farm for homeowners because they almost bankrupted the whole State Farm organization because of the billions and billions of dollars in claims. And see, this is the problem that we run into. Well, we have all these storms come through. Now, they just make it so the deductibles are so high they don't have to pay anything out. And now our county – they're just bad with the garbage collection. They used to pick up, you know, tree limbs and all that kind of stuff. So if you have a storm, you put your tree limbs outside. They don't do that anymore. Now you have to have it all bound up and put in plastic bags. And I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well,
and so,
like a good neighbor, State Farm isn't there.
Well, that's right.
I know. I hear you.
I used to joke about that with Delta. They used to have that logo. We love to fly at shows, and I just laughed at them. I said, they hate to fly at shows, or whoever it was, maybe United. I can't remember. But the point is, you know, a lot of these airlines are doing the same thing. You have points available to them to fly on their planes because you've used your credit card with them for years, and you try to redeem the points, and you can't get a flight. All sold out.
Please, Delta, come on. Really, their favorite Chinese restaurant's low IQ. We be ready when
well,
you is. Delta,
Delta.
They're the biggest dumbasses in the world.
Well, the Americans are behind them, bud.
Well, that's true.
And I remember I tried to fly. I was going to fly overseas here a couple months ago. There's stuff I needed to do overseas. And I remember we looked for the entire year. Guys would do it on points. For the entire year, we started from that day forward, and I was on the phone for hours. And she looked all the way till the end of the year, and there were no available flights on points. Zero. Zero. You know, in business class. None. I mean, there were none anywhere. And I thought to myself, what use are the points if you can't even use them? And, you know, here I've been saving the points for years and years and years. Plus, you know, we've accumulated more points now because of COVID. Because, you know, I used to fly my own plane. I sold it. It's just too expensive to maintain airplanes. And I had my plane during the COVID lockdown. So that was very convenient for me because I could just fly wherever I wanted to fly. I'd have to go through TSA anyhow. but, you know, it was a small plane. It was a little six-passenger, you know, single-engine piston. But the reality is that, you know, it was expensive to maintain that aircraft because of the FAA regulations. I mean, so much stuff you got to repair on those planes, whether they need it or not, every single year, because they don't, people don't realize. If you're using a plane for like a commercial purpose, you know, like if you're flying and you got passengers on it or whatever, you have to have like the engines rebuilt in certain piston aircraft like every 7 years. It doesn't matter if there's 100 hours on the plane, it's good for 3,000 hours. It doesn't make one bit of difference. You got to tear the engine apart and rebuild it because it's mandated. And you see, that's the kind of stuff that you run into when you own small aircraft if you try to keep them in, you know, current annuals. And a lot of people just don't even bother doing annuals, but then if you get caught doing that, they can take your license away or ground the aircraft to make you bring it up to current standards. So it's a very regulated industry. And now we're having these pilots that are just basically, we're short supplied pilots because the pilots are basically dying, you know, in a cockpit. They're dying at home.
Well, tell them what they're dying from. Tell the audience.
Well, they're dying from heart attacks.
Yeah, well, what's the cause?
They were forced to take the COVID shot, which increases spike proteins. What a spike protein, if you take a sheet of paper and you roll it up into like a tube and you look at the inside of the paper, it's smooth all the way down the paper. That would be like, if you looked at a blood vessel like that, that would be the inside of the blood vessel, and that would be called the endothelial layer. And it's very, very slippery. It's like wet ice on wet ice. It's super slippery. And so what happens is, it's designed like that by God to allow the blood to flow evenly and efficiently and smoothly and quickly throughout the body into the arterioles and into the capillaries and back into the venules, back into the veins, back into the lungs to get reoxygenated. The problem with all of this is that when you put yourself into a position where you're injected with a mRNA vaccine that tells your body to manufacture spike proteins, those spike proteins are like microscopic sand spurs, and they get lodged inside of the endothelial layers. And they get lodged a lot of times in the branches where the arteries go together or the veins go together, the branches of all these major portions of your body for the cardiovascular system. And when they get lodged in there, they're like a sand spur stuck in that side of the endothelial layer, and they cause what's called a micro or an eddy current, which means it starts swirling around there, which causes clotting. So you end up with microclots. And these microclots get into the doggone capillaries and into the blood vessels and then cause heart attacks because they get built up inside of the heart and the pilot dies. They also get into the brain and cause a massive decrease of blood flow to the brain. It's like getting all plugged up with sand spurs and all of a sudden now you come down with senile dementia. And now all of a sudden you have Alzheimer's problems. Now you have memory lapses. Now you're having blood clots in your legs that are so bad they got to come in and strip the arteries and veins back out of your legs in order to try to figure out how to fix you and replace them and try to roto-rooter them. I mean, that happened to a friend of mine who was a car salesman at one of the car dealerships, and he had gone in and he not only got Johnson & Johnson, he got Moderna, he got all the shots. He got everything he could find. I'm not going to give you his name. Let's call him Joe. It's not Joe. Let's call him Joe. And Joe, I told Joe not to get the vaccines, but Joe was always a know-it-all gear. He was 100% sold on medical doctors and medical professions. He was 100% sold on vaccines. Now, I warned Joe, don't take the vaccine. So the next time I came in and saw him, he's sitting there and said, I've taken all the vaccines from Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, all of them. And he goes, and I'm COVID proof. And I said, nah, I don't think so, bud. And Austin was with me. We left the dealership and I looked at Austin. I said, Joe's a dead man. And he goes, you think so, Dad? I said, oh yeah. I said, he's going to have blood clots pretty quick. And then within 6 weeks, he started having blood clots, so extreme pain. Then they had to go in. He had gangrene in his left foot. And because he had gangrene in his left foot from a lack of blood flow, and so they had to come in there and put him on intravenous antibiotics, and they had to go in there and clean out his blood vessels. And they told him there was a high probability he's going to die if they did all this, but he had no choice. And he did it, and he died. And they had a service for him at the dealership, and they still have his ashes there at the dealership. Apparently that was his main family. He'd been there for so many years that he basically ended up just, you know, they left his ashes there. And the sad part about all of this stuff is it's not an isolated incident. The same thing happens today because when they inject this stuff into you and they tell your cells to manufacture spike proteins, the body won't do it. The immune system suppresses it. It says, absolutely not. We will not put this poison into our bodies. So they've got to put an immune system repressant, retarding agent into the doggone vaccine to force the body to manufacture spike proteins against its will. And when it does that, you get turbo cancers. Because now the immune system doesn't work anymore. I went out with this lady last year. I probably think it was in December. Really nice lady. And she had had cancer. And she had recovered from the cancer. And she had taken like all three vaccines. And I basically went out with her one time and that was it. And I thought, I'm not going to go out with her again because I know she'd have all kinds of health problems and the cancer's going to come back. And sure enough, the cancer came back. And she'd have surgery again. and they removed a huge tumor mass out of her again. And then within 6 weeks, she went back to the doctor, another huge tumor mass. And now they got her on chemotherapy and radiation again. And now it's so advanced they can't do surgery on her anymore. And I feel sorry for her. She's a wonderful lady, strong Christian lady, really sweet lady. But I didn't want to be involved with it. See, that's another thing that you run into when you start, you know, I'm online on these dating apps, right? Which is ridiculous. What a waste of time that thing is. But the point is at least you get to meet people without having to go out to places you shouldn't want to go. And it's funny, I put in there, my second line says, I have not taken the COVID shot. That's what it said. Boom. How do you feel about the COVID shot? Is my third line. And like, whoa, okay. And I will say this. You will find people out there, if you're that blunt with it, that will contact you because you haven't been vaccinated and you're still a pure blood. The problem that we all have, Dave, is shedding. This crap gets into the doggone air and all this stuff, because that's how measles and mumps and rubella and, you know, and polio and all that stuff happens through shedding. People start catching these diseases from people that have been vaccinated for it. And see, the problem that we have now is the shedding of the spike proteins infecting everybody. I was talking to another show host the other day. He said within 5 years, we're going to have a massive, massive drop in population because of this. And he also said within 10 years, the vast majority of the people that have been vaccinated and continue to take in the booster shots will all be dead. And I thought to myself, well, that's pretty grim. But, you know, is he telling the truth? I don't know. All I know is that we're having a huge, like you just said, Dave, there's life expectancy is dropping way down. Actuarial tables are being changed right now as we speak. And these are actuarial tables that have been around for 100 years. They've been using them. Guess how they regulate the industry and how much money to charge for insurance. So actuarial, I mean, everything is based on numbers from the bean counters. And so then all of a sudden they don't know what to do because suddenly all these people are dying that are 18, 19, 20, 25, 30 years old. And it's skewing the numbers down of the population. They've already killed a whole bunch of the people in the nursing homes and assisted living facilities. The other day I was getting my hair cut. Lady walks in with this guy from an assisted living facility. He looked like he was 100 years old. I started asking her about senile dementia, and she was a major cause of that. She says either drugs that people are put on or a lack of interaction with other people because their families, either they don't have any children left or they never had children. There's nobody left to talk to them. They sit there and watch TV all day and go into a stupor, and their brain just basically becomes catatonic. And she said, I said to her, well, how many people did you lose in the nursing home, the assisted living facility, during COVID? She goes, we lost over 20% of the population, died. So we were constantly bringing in people in to bring dead bodies out. It got so bad that we had to tell the families who were coming in sick that they couldn't visit their family anymore, and we had to put them a big glass, you know, window up, and they have to talk to each other through glass, and we did that for over a year. We had to lock it all down. See, what people don't realize, and I've heard this before, and excuse my vernacular, it just pisses me off. They say COVID wasn't real. COVID was very, very real.
Yeah.
Like the guy, I had it twice. I know what it was. It wasn't the flu, all right? You know, the problem is that COVID had a very low mortality rate unless you were over the age of 70 with comorbidities. Then it killed a lot of people in nursing homes and people that were obese. It did a lot of that. The biggest problem that we had was the use of remdesivir in the hospitals as a standard procedure protocol that was used basically and built as a bioweapon.
Mm-hmm.
Against Ebola, they had to stop using because 60% of the people, approximately 50 to 60% of the people, were dying from the remdesivir, from organ failure. And so many of these people went into the hospital. I had multiple friends who died who were not vaccinated, Dave, from organ failure, and they were all put on remdesivir. I've got another one right now who got vaccinated. He's in the hospital now with internal bleeding, and they can't figure out why he's bleeding out all the time, why he's having to be given blood all the time. But he took the vaccine. And then he took the vaccine, he got put in the hospital, they put him on remdesivir, he's one of the lucky souls that did not die, he's got all of this crazy stuff, he's not even the same person anymore.
Yeah.
He doesn't act like the same person anymore. His personality has completely changed because all these spike proteins have gotten to his brain now. Remember that movie?
Before you go there, is this related to Alzheimer's?
It will be.
Okay, that's what I was
saying. They'll just say it's senile dementia and Alzheimer's, but they won't mention that it's caused by spike proteins in 10 years. It won't matter. You know, of course, they'll have the eugenics running pretty good. People can basically be euthanized by then. That's where it's all headed anyhow.
You're right. Ted, in the 15-minute cities, I've done all the research on this that I can, and there's not one provision in any of these cities to handle handicapped and elderly people. They want to deny transportation so you can walk and bike wherever you want to go or take public transportation, but you got to walk to it. And they're going to depopulate the elderly. That's what the 15-minute cities are going to do.
Well, what about the autistic children, bud?
Well, same thing. Handicapped too. You're right.
What happens when all the autistic children's parents die? The parents are having to watch these autistic children most of the time for the rest of the parents' lives.
Well, I hear you. I hear
you. We've got over 30% of these kids now are autistic. I mean, it's insane what's happening. And they're saying Dr. Stephanie Sadeff from MIT said by 2030, 50% will be autistic, if not 100%. You know, so all this stuff is happening right now, and we're watching and thinking, remember, autistic children don't breed. They don't get married. They don't have children. They don't become a, you know, productive source of the population. They don't do any of that stuff. They're constantly a constant burden on the population of the planet because they have to be taken care of, especially if they get to be full grown and they're still functional and they want to run around and start getting mad, violent and mad and everything else. They have to be restrained. I've seen it.
Yeah, I can sum this up in two words. Fabian socialism. That's what these people adhere to. If you don't put more into their society that they control, then you take out, they want to do away with you.
Well, yeah, remember that movie, 2001 Space Odyssey? Yes. Remember that movie? When we came, remember HAL, the supercomputer? Mm-hmm. That was Stanley Kubrick again. And that was a sentient supercomputer. And it was killing everybody on the spaceship. Okay? And so finally, the guy, Dave, gets into the computer's mainframe, and he's floating in there because they've turned off the gravity thing. He's floating in there, and he starts pulling segments of the brain out. You know, and the computer goes, Dave, what are you doing? Dave, please stop. And pretty soon the computer starts counting backwards from like 10, 9, 8. And it was going back into its infancy stage in which now it was just basically a machine. It was no longer sentient. That's exactly what happens with spike proteins in the brain. They start blocking those blood vessels that create the memories and the blood cells in the brain. And you're having your lights go out. That's why so many people have been vaccinated. Their personalities are changed. They're not the same people anymore. And people don't realize they're having their lights go out. It's like HAL that supercomputer did on 2001, A Space Odyssey, when Dave went in there and unplugged it. And see, this is what they've done to the people in the population now. That's why so many people can't think anymore. You know, they ask Albert Einstein, you know, gosh, back when he was alive, back in the 40s and the 50s, they said, what is wrong with people today, Dr. Einstein? He goes, they simply can't think. Well, if he has seen what they've done now with fluoride and tricyclic antidepressants and what 100 million people taking opiates in the United States and painkillers, he'd see a country that can't think at all. And these people that are addicted to these opiates, Dave, they'll do anything for their fix. They don't care what the population is doing. They don't care what the government's doing. They just want another shot of OxyContin. They want more of those pills. That was Purdue Pharma, and the Sackler family did all that with all their pill mills they set up everywhere. And then they took a lot of these guys who were running the pill mills who were thought they were doing everything legally through Purdue Pharma and Sackler family, and they had them arrested and put in jail.
Right.
Because they were basically having doctors give prescriptions for these things. They told everybody OxyContin wasn't addictive. Unbelievable.
I know. Ted, in the 2 minutes we have left, what should people be doing?
Right now, people need to basically be praying, number one. That's the number one thing we have to do. Because when you create scalar energy for prayer, you can change the fabric of space-time. If you go back to my show this week on Tuesday, I did a show on scalar energy and on prayer and on the different levels and dimensions of the universe where God resides and what we do. It's one of those shows on the Ted Nelson Brewer Show. You can go to the Health Masters website and pull up the archives. That's number one, is we need to pray because it changes everything. Number two, you got to be vocal. I don't care if you don't like saying stuff out loud. You got to start talking about this stuff. Because if you have a friend of yours that's about to go get vaccinated again, and they're going to turn his lights out, and they're going to kill him with a turbo cancer, and you don't say anything, shame on you. Shame on you. You have the responsibility to your friends and your family to be vocal and to speak out against this mess, against tyranny. That's number two. Number three, be prepared. Number one, have some storable food. You go to Health Masters and get some supplements and have those available for you for at least 6 months. Do everything you possibly can to be prepared for this and realize that this whole thing is an orchestrated takedown, like you said, Fabian socialism of the United States of America through the Frankfurt School with the cultural Marxists coming in without having fired a shot, which is what Khrushchev said they would do. Now they've done it to take over the United States of America. And if we understand that and we stand against it in the gap, we can delay this. Now the Bible is very clear about what's going to happen in the end times because God was already there. He's omnipresent. But I believe that we can get a reprieve. And we've got to talk to our generation. Take your children out of the public school systems. That's critical. Homeschool those children if you can't find a private school. Most private schools are compromised now, too, because they take government money. Homeschool your children and teach them the right things about the Word of God. Teach them who Jesus is. Teach them about what faith is and what love is and what prosperity is and what blessings are from God Almighty. Teach them those things and make them understand that without God, Nothing is possible. With God, all things are possible. And Jesus came and he died for those children, died for us, so we could be in a blood covenant with God Almighty to restore our relationship to God.
Amen.
That's
brother.
What we have here on this planet, and that's what we're supposed to, that's what we should be doing right now,
okay,
Dave.
That's sound advice. Let me leave the audience with this. Healthmasters.com, I'm a beneficiary of their great products, and you need to store up because you're not going to have your medicine much longer. You need to find the supplements that will replace it. Hey, we're flat out of time, ladies and gentlemen. Go to healthmasters.com. Coupon code is 5 to take 5% off, Ted. Thank you. Great as always.
Oh, thank you, my friend. I appreciate you guys.